at your glory, at your majesty. We sing about the fact that you are holy. Do you understand that when we sing that, you allow us to come to you who are holy and to sing that to you? Because you have made us holy. You've made us righteous. You've made us new because of the blood of Jesus. So we can boldly enter and be with you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We honor you for who you are, a faithful God, a God of truth, God whose compassion does not run out. Oh, we love you, Lord. We ask that as we turn to your word, you would continue to speak to us. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you to our team. You did well. So I was at a wedding yesterday. Mark and Yonelda, our youth pastors, got married yesterday. Now, doesn't it help you give them an applause? They're not here to hear that. So wait until next week, then you can congratulate them. I'm just quickly looking. There's three people over there who made a choice to be here. The rest had to be here, like me and my wife and Renata and Jared. So there are four people who were at the wedding who actually chose to come to the service. So well done to you. You get a special prize. I don't know what it is, but you get a special prize. So we, the second last part of our series, we'll be talking about reigning in life. And I really want to trust that God has spoken to you over these last few weeks, and that something is stirring in your spirit, and that there's a sense that God is calling you to actually reign and rule in this life. And we're going to continue to read this key verse from Romans 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, that's the sin of Adam. Because of the sin of Adam, death reigned. How much more will those who receive the abundant provision of God's grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Because of the work of Jesus, if we apply that work in our lives, we have this incredible privilege of reigning in life. So this morning we want to look at provision. And if you've been following the story, we've literally just been taking some of the key highlights from the life of Saul, David and Solomon, the major kings. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about some of the smaller kings and what they did. But Solomon had an incredible life. Some of it was incredibly bad, and some of it was incredibly good. There were some moments where he lost the plot. But if you remember from last week, we spoke about the wisdom that Solomon had, and this week we will talk about God's provision and how those two were linked together. Can you remember the part where God comes to him and he says, ask anything and I will give it to you, and he asks for wisdom. And then God comes back and he says, but because you've asked for wisdom, I will give you what you've asked for. I'll give you wisdom, but I'll also give you so much more. And if we read through the stories of Solomon, some of the stuff is just mind-blowing. And it says in 1 Kings 10:23, so King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on earth. And we understand the wisdom part. We looked at that a little bit last week. But linked to that, because of the wisdom that God gave him and because of the other blessing that came with it, he also became incredibly rich. So he had a daily meal. So every day there would be a table, and people will eat at his table. But just listen to what the provisions were for this table. So the daily requirements for Solomon's palace, were 150 bushels of choice flour, 300 bushels of meal, also 10 oxen from the fattened pens, 20 pasture-fed, so they also had organic in those days. So 10 with steroids and 20 with organic. And then 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer and gazelle and roe deer and choice poultry. They didn't even mention how many chickens there were. So the clever people did some math and they tried to calculate how many people would this feed. Remember, this is his daily provision every single day. And they say from the bushels of flour, you could probably make about 18,000 or a piece of bread for 18,000 people. From the meal, you could feed another 36,000 people with a piece of bread or a pastry or whatever they made with it. And the meat, probably about 34,000 people. That's his daily provision. And if you try and square that up, somewhere between 30 and 40,000 people ate at Solomon's table. I don't know how big the table were. Andre, can you imagine cooking like that every single day? This was the provision that was King Solomon's. Because he asked for God's wisdom. And because God was pleased with him because he asked for wisdom. And God also granted him all the rest. In 1 Kings 10:27, it says, the king made silver as plentiful as stone. Now, I know it's poetic language, but just think of that. Silver became like a stone. You'd kick a stone, throw a stone, step on a stone. Silver became as plentiful as a stone. And the valuable cedar timber was as common as the sycamore fig tree that grew in the foothills of Judah. In other words, Solomon had incredible provision, but also in the kingdom, there was incredible provision. It's not just Solomon that experienced it. The people who lived in Jerusalem said, silver is nothing. Silver is like a stone. The best wood that you could use to build your house or the palace or anything, that became commonplace. Even as common as the cheapest and the least valuable piece of wood. And we see this pattern that begins to unfold. As certain things begin to fall in place, we get to the place where God also provides for us to be able to reign in life, to give us what we need to be able to do that. We want to look at a couple of promises, and there are numerous ones. So these are just some highlights. You can go look and search the scriptures for the promises that God gives that he will provide so that you would be able to do what he has called you to do. Matthew 6, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Doesn't that sound exactly like Solomon? When he was given the blank check, when God came to him and said, ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He asked for wisdom so that he could govern righteously, so that he could do the right things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his ways. Seek what pleases him. And then, just as with Solomon, all these things will be given to you as well. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and we'll look at this, the rest of this passage a little bit later. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. If you will allow me some liberty, let's insert our theme in there. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that at all times and in all things, you are able to reign in life, having all that you need to reign in life, and that you will abound in every good work. The psalmist writes, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It's a promise from God's word. Psalm 37, I was young and now I am old, and yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging read. So we have a promise that God is able to provide that which we need in every situation so that we are able to reign in life. And that would include everything. The material that we need, the resources that we need, the skills that we need, the strength that we need, the encouragement that we need, the favor that we need. God is able to provide everything that we would need so that we can reign in life. Christopher, you want to quickly come up here and help me? I want to explain with an illustration just something. So, when it comes to money and finances, there's a number of postures that we can have. We can have an open hand, we can have a closed hand, we can have a grabbing hand. So I'm going to give you 5 rand. How's that? It's a good deal for coming up to come and help us. Now you can go sit. No, stay. Okay, so I'm going to firstly teach him the wrong thing. I'm going to teach him to hold on very tightly. Stand a little bit forward so people can see. And God now comes and he blesses him. That's not too bad. You caught about 5 coins. Okay, so open your hand. Then another couple fell out. Okay, so he's not doing too well. The other thing that we can do is we can grab. So, you still got your 5 rand. Get a 5 rand. Here's your 5 rand. I took it from you. Now don't be greedy. Don't take 2 5 rands. Okay. And now we're going to teach him to be like us. Because how many of us, if we're honest, will not say that we try and grab? Something comes our way, we want to try and grab. So, you ready? No, you got to, just one hand. Don't be greedy. Huh? You ready? Grab. Grab. Oh, you lost. Show them what you have left. Mahala. Okay. Now I'm going to give you 5 rand. And I'm going to teach you to do something else. Now I'm going to teach you to actually have an open hand. Because if you have an open hand, 2 things happen. You can give and you can receive. So seeing that you have an open hand, will you give me 5 rand? We didn't practice that part. He actually gave it to me. Okay, and let's try again. A lot better. Okay, now you can take that and you can go buy ice cream for whoever you love in your life. It's a very simple illustration. You see, if you have a closed hand, Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely, that's the open hand, and become more wealthy. It says, be stingy and lose everything. So often we think that we need to hold on to what God places in our hands, what he blesses us with. But instead, he asks of us to have an open hand. An open hand means the ability for that resource, that time, that money coin to flow out. But it also gives God the opportunity to have some of it flow back into my life. The grabbing hand, greed. Greed brings grief to the whole family. I mean, it's as simple as that. Greed brings grief to the whole family. Ecclesiastes 5, another book that King Solomon wrote. Those who love money will never have enough. You see, greed cannot be satisfied. And if greed is something that we battle with, we try and grab more and more, you'll actually lose more, and we will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. But if we live with an open hand, we can allow God's provision to flow into our lives. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. Proverbs 11:25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And if we look at this particular scripture, we can see clearly that it is financial. The generous will prosper. But then he also talks about other things. Those who refresh others, those who encourage other people, will themselves be refreshed. In your relationships, are you trying to hold on to what you have? Are you trying to grab and get what you can from other people? Or are you in your relationships a person that lives with an open hand? And that which you have received, you are able to freely give to others. When it comes to your experience with God, the love that you receive from Him, do you keep it just for yourself? Do you want to try and get more of that love? Or are you actually in a space where you're willing to say that the love that I've received, I am able and willing to share with other people? I can live, or I do live, with an open hand. If I live with an open hand, God is able to provide and place resources in my hand so that at all times, in all things, we might be able to prosper and do the good works that He requires of us. Now, when we talk about finances, primarily as we're talking this morning, provision, we have to talk about the fact that sometimes we have and sometimes we do not have. And how do we deal with that? What does that do in our lives? So firstly, to those who have, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all of us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. In other words, tell them not to be stingy, to keep for themselves. Tell them not to be greedy, but tell them to live with an open hand and to use what God has blessed them with for the blessing of others. They should be rich in doing good works and generous to those who are in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up for themselves treasures as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. If you have, God has got some clear instruction as to what you should do with what you have. If you do not have, Luke says, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. We live in a country that has got, last I heard, I don't know how accurate the statistics are, if not close to, then the biggest differential between the highest income and the lowest income in the world. And we find ourselves somewhere in that spread. So there's always someone with less than me, and there's always someone with much more than me. And how do I deal with that? Do I look at what I have compared to what someone else has and say, but if why can they have it? If they can have it, then I also want it. If we look at the levels of corruption in our country, not just from government, even from private organizations and private businesses, the amounts of bribes and deals and things under the table that goes on. Why? Because there's a spirit loose in our country that says that I should have more. I am entitled to more. And we get to a place where we measure the value of life based on what we own. And we begin to believe that I have the right to that and I can take it by any means. Philippians 4. Verse that you know well, verse that I've used a number of times. I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. This is what Paul is saying. He says, I know what it is to have nothing, to have lack, to not have, and I know what it is to have plenty, to have excess. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or with an empty stomach. So he's not playing around when he says, I don't have enough. He says, there were days that I didn't have food to eat. And there were days when I ate and my stomach was full, with plenty or with little. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So friends, if you are in the position this morning where you have, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You can have through Christ who gives you the strength to manage that and to use that in a way that He requires of you. He can give you the ability. He can give you the wisdom. He can give you the grace. He can show you what to do with your finances and how to handle it well, and to use it for the glory of His kingdom. And if this morning you say, I have nothing, I have an empty stomach, I don't know where my next meal is coming from, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And probably most of us find ourselves somewhere in between. And you can do that by Christ who gives you the strength to handle that situation. I want to spend the last few moments to look at a model for provision. I quoted the scripture earlier from 2 Corinthians 9, and it's a passage that speaks at length about provision and some very clear principles in the New Testament as to how we should handle and engage and receive and give and the things that come from that. I want to make one qualifying statement, and we need to understand this. So when we look at this passage, it addresses a very specific issue. It does not address the general giving in that church. It addresses a special offering that Paul has encouraged them to take up to send to Jerusalem as a gift, because Jerusalem is going through a famine. So it is a very specific offering that they're taking up. So it does not speak primarily to general giving, although we can apply some of the principles, but it applies to a specific, special offering that they're taking up. And he starts off by saying in verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So we begin to see this principle of sowing and reaping. If I keep and I hold on to what I have, I will only have what I have. But if I release that seed, it has the potential to grow and to multiply. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. So when it comes to giving, he says that you should decide in your heart. Remember, it's a special offering. So we're not talking about the general tithes and offerings that they brought for the sustaining of the church at that time. They're talking about a specific offering that they were taking up. So let me use an example. Earlier this morning, I said, is anyone here maybe in a position where they can sponsor a child to go to Imagine? It's a special offering, not the general. And in that case, you should decide in your heart. If you are married, it's good to speak to your spouse. Can we do this? Can we afford this? Are we feeling that God is leading us? Even while we can't afford it, we feel we should do it. Or maybe we should sponsor half of that. Do not do it reluctantly. Do not do it in a response to pressure. In other words, don't do it because the pastor is going to keep on asking, and let's just give so he can keep quiet and not ask again next week. Two people laughed. The rest of you didn't find it very funny. Maybe I can ask again next week then. You see, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a person who lives with an open hand. And if you begin to live with an open hand, you begin to look for opportunity. Because you understand that if I release that, if I sow that, God has the ability to make it to multiply in my hand so that I can have more to give. Your attitude. You see, God will generously provide in all your needs. So now we're back to what we're talking about. God providing for me so that I can reign in life. God will provide generously in all your needs. But that comes in the context of sowing, of reaping, of having a heart that's not reluctant, not under pressure, but hears from God and decides, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to serve God with these resources. God will generously provide all of your needs. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Can you see how there's increase coming? The moment that I begin to live with an open hand. And as the scripture says, they share freely and gave generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. So up until now, he's been talking about me. He's been talking to you. He's been encouraging you to sow. He's been explaining to you that when you give, there will be increase, that God will provide your needs, that this is his model for provision. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Some of the other translations say differently. They say he provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater. In other words, when God provides, when we live with open hands, it's not like he's going to take everything away from us and we're going to starve. He will provide us with bread, but he will also provide us with seed. Now, if we eat the bread, then there's nothing to sow. There's no harvest. Likewise, if we sow everything, then our children don't have food. And in this we need to hear God. God, what is bread to eat? What is seed to sow? And as we begin to engage with God, he will begin to speak to us and he will lead us in this matter. In the same way, he will provide an increase. Provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. You remember Abraham? I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people. Now, the primary blessing is Jesus being born out of the line of Abraham. But Abraham had resources. He had so much resources that he had a private army. And I have shared this before. And when some people, some family members got captured by the enemy, he could raise his private army and go and rescue them. So God blessed Abraham with resources. And maybe people around him said, but why is Abraham so rich? Why is God doing this? The reason is he was blessing him with resources so that he could use those resources for the blessing of other people. We have no scriptural account of that private army being used for anything else but to rescue his family members. You see, God will provide a harvest and he will provide the resources that you need to be a blessing to others. Last sentence. And when we take your gift to those who are in need, they will thank God. So now Paul is saying, we're going to take this offering that we take up from you in this church, and we're going to take it to Jerusalem, and it will produce thanks in them. And now we're shifting. Now we will begin to see the result of this. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. And I'll just flip that from the other side. Paul has been talking about we should be giving to this need in Jerusalem. But on the other side in Jerusalem, someone is praying and saying, we have a need, would you provide in that need? And God has the ability to make these two meet up. So there will be thanksgiving in Jerusalem. Their need will be met. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give God glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul ends this passage on giving, on provision, by saying that this is part of what God requires of us as Christians. There's a number of things that he requires of us, and we've spoken about them. We've got to sort out our identity in Christ. We've got to be secure in Him. We've got to be patient. We've got to be wise. We can add many different things. One of the things that is required of us, if we want to reign in life, is that there needs to be provision for that. And the model for God for that provision is that we live with an open hand. You see, God wants to provide everything that we need in every situation, so that at all times we will have all that we need to be able to fulfill what He has called us to do. I want to ask that you close your eyes. I want to ask that as you sit there, that you would just prayerfully consider. Let's make it specific this morning. We know all resources are involved, but let's talk specifically about money this morning, material resources. What is your attitude towards it? Are you someone who holds on to it so tightly? You are fearful of losing it? Are you someone who grabs? Or are you someone who lives with an open hand? And maybe you are one of the first two. Maybe you want to say this morning, but God, I do want to live with an open hand. It's difficult. I struggle. I don't always know how to meet all the needs around me. And if you ask God, if you trust God, He has the ability to provide all that you need. He will give you the bread that you need to eat. But He is such an incredible God, He will even give you the seed that He asks you to sow. Father, as a congregation, we come before You this morning. And we declare that we need Your provision. We cannot do it in our own. Our own way of doing it is not making it. Would You provide all that we need? Pray for every individual family represented here. God, would You provide everything that that family needs? Would You give them the strength for the days when they are hungry and they don't have enough? God, but also would You give us the strength in the days that we have plenty? Help us to see and discern what is seed and what is bread. Lord, help us to be people who live with open hands and open eyes. Help us to be people who live with a willingness to provide. Father, as strange as it might sound, may the promise of Solomon be ours. May silver be as common as stones. May the choices of wood be as common as the cheapest of wood. Would You bless us so that we can be a blessing to others? Would You multiply our resources, both in terms of finances, but also spiritually, Lord? Would You give us the words? Would You give us the energy? Would You give us the strength? Would You give us the boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us? God, would You enable us as we walk back into a workplace tomorrow morning to be full of You, to have enough resources, to have enough provision, to walk into that space and to encourage, to refresh those around us. And as we refresh them, would you refresh us? As we love them, would you increase our experience of your love so that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ? Father, as we go from this place, would you cause us to reign in life? Father, would you help us not to be ruled over by finances, by bank statements, by payslips, but would you cause us to rule and reign over that and to use it for the glory of your name? We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.